I have not felt myself since then.
Honestly, I think that they believe right off the bat that it's difficult and that they have to throw everything out of their fridge and out of their home and just start fresh. You don't want to eat that same kind of meal for your entire life. You want to be able to say, hey, today I want pasta.
Can I be honest? I tried the portion thing. I didn't like gain anything and I didn't lose anything. We have a hormonal imbalance, which is why for some people it works and for some people it doesn't. My kryptonite, it's snacking. Like, I don't eat a lot, but I snack a lot.
All moms struggle with it. I'm gonna eat it and I'm gonna enjoy it and not feel guilty.
Wow, you're my favorite nutritionist. Today's episode is about healthy living. Yes, I have that issue. We're all going through that issue, I feel, where I cannot, even after my post-mom body, you could probably relate to this, Chanel. Like, I have not felt myself since then. What is the biggest misconception your clients, when they come to you, have about natural living?
Honestly, I think that they believe right off the bat that it's difficult and that they have to throw everything out of their fridge and out of their home and just start fresh. And my approach, I believe, like, you should just kind of take it a little bit slow, you know, slowly make replacements after you stop, you know, using a specific thing. So let's just say you run out of, like, I don't know, a frozen food product that you like to eat all the time that might not be the healthiest. Maybe finding a healthier option to swap it out for the next go around.
Oh, so interesting. So because my idea of starting a diet, and I'm not going to lie. Look, last year I started the Atkins diet and it was wonderful. I did so great with it for an entire year and I lost 20 pounds, which was great. I'm now at the middle ground. I haven't gained all my weight back, but I gained some weight because ever since my daughter started school, it's just kind of been like, I feel guilty, so I eat half of the food that she doesn't eat, even if it's cold, because I just feel that it's going to go to waste. And all that stuff is carbs. It's sometimes, you know, that I make her rice or mac and cheese or like whatever, you know. So the only vegetable she'll eat is probably broccoli, is the one, shockingly, I don't know, but she'll eat it. So the other day I thought about this, what you just said about, well, I have to look at my fridge and clean it all out and throw everything out. But I also have this like feeling of like, I don't want to throw food out. And especially in these times where food is so expensive, I feel so guilty. So, and I shop at Trader Joe's, FYI. I shop at Trader Joe's because I like a lot of the meats that they have, or like some of them are pre-cooked and, you know, it's easy for me to kind of like navigate my day. So I didn't know that. I didn't know that you don't have to throw everything out. So.
Yes. So another thing that I like to tell my clients when they're in a similar position to you, or even in a similar position that I personally was in every single time that I have a baby. I just had my third baby, so I get it. Realizing that, you know, navigating food and weight loss and getting back to feeling like the best version of yourself is that you really have to be real with yourself and honest and pour into yourself and be nice to yourself. And realize like, hey, like, okay, how can I get from point A to point B? And it might look more, you know, up and down. It's not going to be a straight linear line. And that's okay. You can still get what you're after. And you don't have to do it in an unhealthy way, because in most cases, the unhealthy way is the quickest way. And it's also not sustainable. So for example, the Atkins diet that you did, or people who do keto or veganism or vegetarianism, pescatarian, all of those different things, most times those aren't sustainable. You don't want to eat that same kind of meal for your entire life. You want to be able to say, hey, today I want pasta.
Yeah.
And not feel bad about it while you're eating it. You want to enjoy it and continue on with your day. Say, hey, I just had pasta and that was the best pasta I've had. And not feel guilty, you know?
So it could it be in, I guess, in that topic, because everybody tells us I've read this so many times where I see, oh, well, it's, you know, you just have to be portioned about things. And can I be honest? I tried the portion thing where I tried to do the, you know, you eat you know, pasta once a week. And then you kind of like portion out your foods throughout the week. And I did that for several months and I think it went okay, but I sustained the same weight. Like I didn't like gain anything and I didn't lose anything. Do you think that is also part like hormones, like it's hormonal also, like that we have like a hormonal imbalance, which is why for some people it works and for some people it doesn't?
So for women specifically, our bodies generally run on a 28 to 30-ish, 31-day-ish cycle, also known as our menstruation cycle. So week to week, our hormones are changing every single week. Like I was just talking to my best friend about this. Like, do you ever realize the week that you start your period, you look in the mirror and you feel like you've aged 10 years overnight and you're like, who is this person? And you're like, wait, these are my hormones, my estrogen levels and progesterone levels. They're all changing. Mm-hmm. And I'm technically not who I was last week. And right. That's okay because it's your body's just recycling itself. I think that when people look at diet, they're approaching it from the wrong perspective. So by definition, diet actually means what you eat. It's not a particular meal plan.
Right.
Of foods that are like divvied out. And so try to look at diet differently and look at it as, okay, these are the foods that I'm eating. These are the foods that I like to enjoy, whether they're culturally or just foods that you've picked up throughout your adulthood that you like. Like, for example, my husband's Puerto Rican. I didn't grow up eating Puerto Rican food, but I love like tostones and pasta leon and stuff like that, you know? So I have to make those meals because I enjoy them. He enjoys them too, but I do. And figuring out, you know, portion sizes. Now, when it comes to portions, if you really want to get into it, I would always say get a food scale. Okay. And then also use your measuring cups, your tablespoon and teaspoon cups, all of those different things, your cup sizes, and really look at it and say, okay, I'm going to eat a cupful of rice and literally get a measuring cup and put a cupful of rice and then put it on your plate. And believe it or not, you will be full from like having a cup of this and a half a cup of that and even like a fourth cup of something. Like I do this now currently and it's insane. I made quesadillas last night. And I was like, wow, like that was a lot of food. And then if I want to, I can have a snack, you know, if I want to. So, yeah.
That's amazing because now I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to start using my measuring things because honestly, listen, I'm Puerto Rican too, but my Puerto Rican side, I'm like, that looks like about a cup. Like whenever like my mom's like, oh, you have to like salt, you know, like you have to season the chicken. I'm like, that looks like enough. Like oh, like a sprinkle of salt. You mean like this?
Yes.
You know, like you just start pouring things. For those of you who are listening, you just start pouring random amounts of salt or random amounts of sazon. And you just don't, you know, I even in the diets, I don't portion that stuff. I'm like, I think this looks like a cup. You know, sometimes I'm like, you know, scooping the rice and I'm like, yeah, that's about a cup. You know what? A little bit more will make it an actual cup. You know what? Let me fill it up all the way to the top. That's a cup. So I guess, look, I, in all seriousness, it is true. Like, I feel that the best way is that. Have you ever come across a person that like, because I'm assuming not all foods that you have in your fridge are good. I'll get to the snacking in a second because that's my kryptonite. It's snacking. Like, I don't eat a lot, but I snack a lot. So I eat once a day, but I snack a ton throughout the day. And then that adds up, you know? And I think that's where I'm falling behind on my weight. But going back to the fridge, is there a particular foods that you're like, okay, absolutely not. We're not doing that. Like that you would definitely want to throw away.
No.
Oh.
I don't. Okay. So there are, I'm not a perfect person, even though I am a health coach. I have gone to like, for instance, I have like Asian ancestry. So I might go to a store for people who might know, it's called H Mart. And in H Mart, they sell so many different Asian cuisines. And sometimes those little like, you know, cakes and cookies and stuff, they're not the healthiest. And when you actually flip over the back of the ingredients, they're filled with a lot of preservatives, synthetic food dyes, seed oils and things where it's like, I'm not eating this, but it tastes really good. So you know what? I'm going to eat it and I'm going to enjoy it and not feel guilty, but this is definitely not something that I'm reaching for every single day.
So interesting. Wow. You're my favorite nutritionist moving forward, because like every time I go see a nutritionist for any reason whatsoever, they're like, throw everything that you have in that fridge away. And I'm like, what are we talking about? Okay, let's talk about, so don't throw anything away. No. Is there a combination? There is this plate that I saw on Amazon. It's a portion plate. Is that something that you recommend, that maybe start there and just know the portions of that plate? I don't know. Do you like portion plates, or is that something that you're like not for either?
No, I've never used it. I mean, if you feel like it's a tool that you are open to experimenting with, then go for it. Let me know how it works out for you. I'm definitely interested. But I usually go, before I started like measuring, I started going off of my palm. So like, I wouldn't eat a piece of protein, like a chicken fillet or anything that was bigger than my palm.
Got it.
Because this is a, I can't remember the exact like papers and things that I read, but there is scientific evidence saying that you can use that portion to navigate how much proteins and things that you need to do or eat within your diet. And I think that with a food scale, you can really get into tuned with it and really know like how many ounces based off of how much, you know, the meat weighs and stuff, because beef and chicken are totally different. And also the types of beef you get and the types of chicken, if you get something with more fat or something that's more lean, it can also vary in how your body breaks it down and metabolizes it.
Interesting. What about working out?
So I actually went to school as well to become a personal trainer.
Oh, well.
So I do know.
You're my favorite nutritionist. I'm telling you. You're like.
This is my bread and butter.
I haven't found one like you.
So to work out, or the concept of exercising, okay, we have to look at it for what it really is for. A lot of people look at it as, this is for weight loss. For women, exercise is not just for weight loss. Women are more susceptible to getting things like osteoporosis, which is the thinning out of your bones internally. Every single woman on earth experiences this. And there's really no way to combat this via diet, but through exercise, through resistance training and weight training, meaning picking something heavy and putting it back down over and over again, that will help your bones kind of get microscopic tears in them, and it'll thicken your bones. So if you do this for longer periods of time throughout your life, even though your bones might hollow out on the inside, because they have thickened over time, you're less likely to experience fractures and things.
I was just working out because I just wanted to look a little bit better. And I can't get the bottom of my my lower belly to go away. Ever since I had the C-section, that thing has never gone away. It's like I will live with it forever.
All moms struggle with it. And to be fair, I actually watched an Instagram video the other day that I thought, I reposted it, and it was the best explanation of the female anatomy. So right there in your lower stomach, on our lower stomach, because I'm also a female, we have our uterus. And when we eat food, our intestines sit behind our uterus. So they expand. So then our uterus kind of pokes out a little bit more, and we're sitting around like, oh, this is fat. No. And then also there is a healthy amount of fat that we need as women. We need more fat on our bodies than men for our hormones to work properly, because if not, we'll start to get, you know, PCOS, experiencing hormonal imbalances, we'll lose our periods and things like that. So it is important that we have some level of fat. And you can't get pregnant if you don't have a certain percentage of body fat.
Did not.
Which I know
that
some women don't want to be pregnant, but just so you know, in case you want to be.
It's so many things that we have to carry, to be honest with you. So many parts and components that we have to remember in order to be healthy internally and externally. I feel like if I had to purchase myself, I think I heard a comedian say this, if we had to purchase ourselves like as a car or like body, we would probably be like, no, we're too expensive. So can you imagine purchasing like myself, like, oh, you just have to take care of your internal and your external, like there's just like a list, a laundry list of things to do. But on side note from all that, let's talk about snacking. So for example, what do you recommend a proper snack or proper, like how much snacking throughout the day should you be doing actually?
I think that it varies depending on where you are in your cycle. So for example, if you are about to start your period and if you know when you're about to start your period, usually we can feel it. Mm-hmm. You crave chocolate, you're craving breads and carbs, and you're like, ah, oh, I'm hungry. Why am I so hungry? All the time I'm hungry.
Yep.
So I reach for different things at that time versus on my normal day to day. So I'll break those down first when I'm craving a lot of things. So I really focus on protein packed foods. I know that this was a trendy thing that was going on the internet, but it is true because protein keeps you full longer because it takes more energy for your body to digest it, meaning that you're less likely to be hungry.
Mm.
So what I like to do when I am like on my period or leading up to my period is my best friend is, I know this is going to sound gross, but it is non-sweetened, just plain Greek yogurt. I'll add some cocoa powder or some cacao powder to it. And then I'll add a sweetener. You can use honey. I like agave. These are things that are really important for people who are like higher on like the diabetes scale. So I don't have diabetes, but if you know somebody who does, then they're going to want to look for something that's called a low glycemic index sweetener, meaning that it doesn't peak your sugar levels immediately. It takes your body time for them to rise up and then they gradually fall down, which makes your energy levels more sustainable throughout the day and things like that. But you can still have sweets. But anyways, so I'll use agave, about like a tablespoon. So it's a pretty good sweetener and it's very, very sweet. And I'll mix that in there. I'll top it with some strawberries, maybe some fresh blueberries or some granola. And when I tell you, it tastes like I'm eating like a chocolate pudding, like, or chocolate fudge. It's delicious. Like my mouth is watering. I'll tell you, have to try it.
I will.
When I'm not...
Not yes, a fan of the Greek yogurt, but I am open to trying it because I like trying new things, even though I know I'm like, I'm not comfortable with it. But like, that's like a thing of mine recently that I'm like, I just need to try new things. But you're right.
Well, Greek yogurt, it is a bit tangy and it is an acquired taste. Not everybody likes it, which is why I add a sweetener to it because it helps. And also Greek yogurt that doesn't have a lot of sugars, or yogurts in general that don't have a lot of sugars, are actually really good for your digestive health. And that contributes, your gut is like the most, they call it like your second brain. But in all honesty, I believe it's your first brain, because the saying you are what you eat is very literal.
Mm.
It makes up your body on a cellular level, whatever it is you're eating.
That's very interesting. And it's true. It says trust your gut.
Yes, you should trust your gut.
You know, because if it says, hey, I'm hungry, I want to eat everything, you know what I mean? Like, and your gut is literally telling you, like, or at least for me, this happens. I don't know if this happens to any moms out there, but for me, every time my gut is like, don't eat that. Like, you know, that's like bad for you. But like my brain is like, let's go. We're going on a chocolate frenzy today. We're going to eat everything. Let's just go through the fridge together. But it's true. Trust your gut.
I mean, and that's okay. You know, if you want to go and like ransack your refrigerator and attack it because you're so hungry, you know, I'm not encouraging anyone to starve. But what I am encouraging for people to do is just look at it as like, eat whole foods. If you're hungry and you want a snack, eat an apple. Eat a pear. You want something sweet? Eat a pear. You want something savory? You can eat some carrots. You can put some vinegar or some ranch, follow the packaging on the back that tells you how much ranch equals, you know, how much calories, fat, et cetera, so that way you're aware of what you're really consuming.
So you actually opened my mind, and for any mom out there, and now this is another topic we're going to get into, the holidays.
Oh, yeah.
We feel a certain way and then we're like, oh no, this is going to be my New Year's resolution because now the holidays are coming.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a plan for the holiday? Is it the same plan? Like, hey, you can have things, but just have alternative options, especially when you're not hosting, like what you should be looking for. Because I host Thanksgiving every single year here, I kind of can control that. But as a non-host, do you have any recommendations of like, if you see this, step away or just do portions of that?
So I do. So when I'm out and about at someone else's home. Mm-hmm. Even this is before I discovered that I was doing this. I used to do it as a child. I would get a plate and first of all, look at the type of plate that you have, you know, because some people give huge plates during the holidays and then some people give like an eight inches or something.
It's like the 8 inches. Yeah. Like the regular round plates. Yeah.
Yes. So first of all, assess that, because if it's a huge plate then and you're trying to fill it up, you're going to be eating more. So what I like to do is I'll take a spoonful of everything that I'm interested in trying, and then I'll eat it and actually savoring it and thinking about it. Like, do I really enjoy this? Do I not enjoy this? First, it's a way to help with embarrassment. Say somebody makes pasta salad for the first time and you're like, this is gross. Mm-hmm. You can be like, oh, they ask you, did you try it? Yeah, tried it, you know? Mm-hmm. And at the same time, you can, you know, eat those cakes and things, or, you know, whatever it is that you like to eat during the holidays. Another thing that I like to focus on eating a good amount of is protein. I'm going to stress this every single time. So protein, think of meats, think of eggs and things like that. So like you said, you like to eat salami and eggs. You can eat salami and eggs for breakfast every day if you want to, because it will keep you full longer. Mm-hmm. It's really just about how much of it. Are you eating 5 eggs or are you eating 2 or 3 eggs, you know? And are you feeling satisfied after you eat that? If not, then maybe add something else to the plate. So that's what I like to gravitate towards. And then also eating your vegetables. So something that I wanted to mention when you mentioned eating just raw, a lot of people should be careful with eating raw vegetables, especially because there's this thing called leaky gut that basically everybody in the world experiences. Mm-hmm. Essentially, it's when you have microscopic tears inside of your intestinal tract, and basically little pieces of fecal matter and undigested food can get through those little holes in your digestive tract and enter into your bloodstream and cause inflammation, which is the leading cause of sickness.
Oh, no.
So if you are eating raw vegetables, which is, they're good for you, but if you have a compromised gut microbiome is what it's called, which is your digestional tract, mm-hmm. then eating those raw foods is going to be harder for your body to break them down. And there's this thing, this component inside of these raw fruits and vegetables called lectin, where if you eat them, they can kind of cause like holes within your skin or inside of your body that you're not aware of, because your body is like, oh, there's something wrong. There's these fecal matter inside of us. There's these undigested foods. And then it might start to attack your actual tissues, which can create holes.
Oh my God.
In different areas. So just make sure that your gut is in check before you just go and eat a strictly raw vegetable. Mm-hmm. So a best way to check it is, like, for me, I look at, I know this is going to be TMI, but check out your bowel movements. Are you constipated? You know, what's the consistency? How often are you going? Are you bloated all the time? If you are bloated and it's not just hormonal bloating, then that is, your gut is out of balance and you need to start implementing fermented foods like Greek yogurt. A popular one in the Asian community is kimchi. A popular one in the German community is sauerkraut. And then another one that's my kids love, everybody loves it. It's really sweet. It kind of has the consistency of like a milkshake. It's called kefir. And it's basically a fermented type of grain. And you can just drink it. And it's very good. They have different flavors like mango and strawberry. They have it at like Spanish grocery stores and like regular grocery stores as well.
I've been listening to all these like podcasts about health choices and what to do. There was a particular guy, I wish I was better with names, but I'm not. And he was talking about if you get your blood work done, like your entire, there's a name for it. And I'm sorry if I don't know that right now. You probably know it. I can't think of the top of my head. If you get blood work done for you, because everybody's different, like you said, like, you know, we all have different cultural preferences. We're like, for example, I'm Puerto Rican, you know, like I have like all these different food tastes, etc. And you submit, he literally said, go get your blood work done. I know it's expensive. It's like $400 to get this blood work done. And you put mm-hmm. it into ChatGPT, supposedly it would give you the foods that you are not supposed to be touching and the foods that you are supposed to be touching. Like, it's supposed to kind of give a summary biologically, right, of what you are as a person, because we're all different. We're all with these diets, which you just blew my mind today off. We're kind of trying to fit with these one size fits all systems. Like, we should all be on the Atkins diet. We should all be on the carnivore diet, whatever. We should all be on the, you know, keto diet. But realistically, maybe like for me, I, you know, like my blood work is different than another mom's blood work, and maybe we should be consuming different things. Is that something that you believe in? And I'm sorry, I don't know the name of the blood work. I'm going to have to Google it. Hold on.
So I believe that you can do whatever you want to do. We are all adults. Now, would I do that personally? Not necessarily. One, because I have the rarest blood type on earth. I'm AB negative. Like 1% of people on the earth have my blood type, meaning that the foods that I would potentially have to eat would probably be, I would assume, rare and possibly expensive and require me to travel. So no, but I like to just really go off of like educating yourself about what foods do when you eat them.
Right.
So example, carbohydrates. Carbohydrates are not bad. They got a bad rep. There's two different types of carbohydrates. There's simple and complex carbs. Complex carbs, think of like a whole food, like a potato or a plantain. And then you have simple, which is like, think of a refined bread that you can get off of a grocery store shelf. That is something that's going to spike your insulin. So something to realize is that sugar, our bodies automatically convert it into energy. And if we have too much sugar, our body holds onto it, which causes us to hold on to fat.
Okay.
Because it thinks like, oh, I can use this for later. This is energy.
Yes.
So if you eat more protein and vegetables, right, you obviously make sure that you have a healthy balance of both. You are able to now switch the levers where you're not just using sugar for energy. Your body's now also using the fat in your body and it's burning it naturally. And you don't have to exercise to have that happen. There's even like, for instance, I said I'm drinking green tea right now, right? You can drink green tea and let's just say you're like, hey, I'm just going to go for a walk today. You drink some green tea, that caffeine in there actually helps mobilize your fat. So your fat's kind of like, it's not sticking to the walls anymore inside of your body. It's floating around. And now you can actually burn it a lot easier while you're going for that walk. And it heats up your body internally, you know, because that's what caffeine kind of helps with too.
That's amazing. I love all this stuff. Like, I've learned so much about the holidays that are coming up. I have heard so much about, you know, dieting differently. Also, all cultural differences, you know, like, you know, me depriving myself this entire year and a half because I thought that I had to eat a certain way like everyone else eats. You know what I mean?
It's going to lead to binging that way.
Yeah.
You know, I've noticed when I went on keto, right? I got very skinny after I had my daughter. I was like, oh, I'm going to be the sexiest me I could possibly be, you know? And I was eating like kind of fruit, but I had to eat it in moderation. And I was eating a lot of vegetables and a lot of meat. And I was just like, I want pasta.
Yeah.
I want pasta. And at the time I was living with my mother-in-law who's Puerto Rican. And she was like, you're not going to eat bread. You're not going
to
eat.
That's offensive. Like whenever I go to any Dominican or Puerto Rican's house and you say you're about not to, they're like, oh, thank God that you came here. I made you some rice with some chicken. I'm like, oh, I can't eat that. They'll look at you and be like, are you okay? Are you sick?
Exactly. You can still eat rice and chicken and rice and beans at your arroz con gandules.
Arroz con gandules. Oh, girl, stop.
I love. But anyways, you can eat it. So just eat, obviously, a smaller portion and maybe just have more meats on your plate than you would the actual rice and peas dish. But it's eat it and enjoy it. That's really what it all is. It's about understanding your portions and what your foods really do within your body. Because if you don't know and you're just eating whatever just because it tastes good, it's not going to end up well. You're most likely going to be feeling good when you eat it. But after your emotions kind of calm down, and how you're feeling in your body, you might not feel the best, more, you know, confident and things. But anyways, I did keto and it didn't last. It wasn't sustainable.
Yeah.
I was vegan. Wasn't sustainable. I was vegetarian. Wasn't sustainable. Now I kind of just eat primarily whole foods and it's been helping me. So if I want pasta, I'll eat pasta, but I might grab, like, they sell protein pastas and they're not expensive either.
Yeah.
And I'll add that with like some meats and things like that. And then I'll make sure I have more meats than I do noodles on my plate.
Right.
I still get to eat the pasta. It's right. still enjoyable. And I still feel full and satisfied.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel so alienated where my three kids and my husband are eating one meal and I have to eat a totally different meal.
That's another
because
thing.
Of my diet, you know, because that can affect your relationships with people as well. Maybe we'll have to do another episode because there's so much.
There's so much. There's so much. I could literally be here for 2 hours, but I know that there's time here.
Yes. There are different types of seed oils that you should be grabbing and gravitating more towards. They're slightly a little bit more expensive unless you can find them like at Sam's Club, you know, Costco, whatever, where you can buy them in bulk or even online. But really opt for avocado or olive oil, grapeseed oil. You can use canola oil, but just know that canola oil is like the worst oil that you could be using possible. So you should really try to like stay away from it. And use it kind of like in between time,
mm-hmm.
maybe once a week at most, if you have no choice, you know, because like money is tight and you really want something fried. Or you can even do like, I don't have an air fryer, but I used to. You can air fry it. So you can spray like a light coat of the oil of your choice on there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can still have like that crispiness. I've actually made tostones in an air fryer before.
Oh, that must be great. I have an air fryer that I use every single day. I use everything with that thing.
Air fryers are they're a cool little neat invention for sure.
No, I had to take a step back because I got a little carried away. You know, let me tell you a funny quick story about that air fryer that I have today. I bought it like a year and a half ago. It was sitting in my closet for about a whole year.
Oh, wow.
My sister-in-law comes in. My sister-in-law loves to cook. She's a cooker. So she comes here and she's talking to me about the air fryer. And my husband's like, she's like, oh, you know, you guys need an air fryer. He goes, oh, yeah, there's one in the closet. And she's like, what, did you guys just buy it or something? And you haven't set it up? And then he goes, no, we bought it last year. And she goes, what? Let me tell you, I shock a human being every time they come to my house. I will shock somebody because they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, it's just the thing is with me, I'm a committer. So like when I say I'm going to do like a diet, I'm going to commit to that diet. When I say I'm going to do X, I'm a huge committer, but sometimes I'm an over committer and I take it like real, like literal, and I just need to take a step back from that. So then I was like, no, I'm not going to use the air fryer because I don't know. I think I heard something about the air fryer that was not good, or I don't remember.
It was the Teflon probably.
It sat there for a year. And then my sister-in-law was like, what? And then we took it out. I come home one day and it's already placed in the kitchen. My husband took it out. He's like, I think I went somewhere. I forgot where I went. And I came back home and I see that something different in the kitchen because it's red. And I'm like, what is that? He's like, it's the air fryer. I took it out. And because naturally I'm a committer, I'm like, okay, now that it's out, I have to use it. So anyway,
yeah.
That's so strange. I am such a strange human being. You'll have so much fun with me in the kitchen.
You're not strange. You're amazing.
Thank you so much. You've opened my eyes to so many things. And with that, what I want everybody to know here before we wrap everything up is, where can my community of moms find you? Where can they book time with you or join you in your newsletter or in your journey? Because they need to know about this stuff.
Okay. So you can find me a little bit of everywhere. I have an Instagram and TikTok. They're both at trueaurahealing.com. I also have a website. Call it www.trueaurahealing.com, where I have a blog, I have a newsletter, which I would definitely recommend to subscribe because I currently closed out booking one-on-ones. I got really booked up and I had to kind of take a break. So now I am going to be slowly relaunching it in 2026. So people will be able to know, but they need to subscribe to the newsletter so that way they can get the pre-booking options.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing.
And YouTube. I also have a YouTube channel where I post videos. Some are, you know, about like me as a person, so people can kind of know. And then others are about, you know, health and wellness. I have videos about the history of food and things like that.
Everybody, I'm going to put all of those links on the show notes below. So that way, when if you're driving, wait till you get home and then you can just hop on the podcast and the show notes will have all of the links listed there for her. But go to her site. One more thing. What was it?
I also have a podcast.
Yes.
I have a podcast. It is called The Inner Garden. Oh, where I break down these things a little bit more digestible for my audience. I forgot that I even had one. But I have videos. I mean, not videos, but audios up there just talking about different foods and how they can benefit you.
So, this is amazing. You hear that, everybody? So again, links in the show notes. It literally, Chanel, thank you so much. It was such a pleasure having you here. Thank you again for being here with me. And for everybody else, until next time, and I'll see you soon again. Have a good day.